Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Isn't it a beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 10. If you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to join me there, or you can follow along with the words on the screen. I know it says in the bulletin that we'll be going to verse 13, but we're going to read to verse 18. So those words will be on the screen. So friends, hear the Lord. Hear the word of the Good Shepherd. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Friends, this is the word of God from the people of God. And we say, thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your presence here in this place. Jesus, we thank you that you are the good shepherd and that you promise us that you will speak to us, to your flock, to your sheep. And so God, give us ears to hear what the voice of the shepherd is saying to us this morning. But not only ears to hear, give us hearts to respond in obedience, to follow you down the good and right paths to abundant life. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. So are you the kind of person that gets lost easily? Maybe while you're driving or hiking or walking around. You know, I really wish that it wasn't the case, but I confess, I get lost all the time. So just as a little example, a couple of weeks ago, my family went out of town. They were in Mississippi, and so I had a few days to myself. And I probably shared this with you before, but I love the outdoors. I love being in nature, camping and hiking and all of those kind of things. And so I decided I was going to get away for a couple of days and do a silent retreat. And so the plan was that I would spend time in prayer, hiking, silence, solitude. So I packed up my camping gear and I grabbed my dog and we drove up to Huntsville State Park. Now, how many of you have ever been to Huntsville State Park before? Beautiful park. If you've never been, I highly recommend you go. But when you go into the park, you have to stop at the park ranger station, right? And they'll always want to offer you a what? A map. They want to give you a map, and usually that set of maps includes a trail map. Now, me having gone to that park many times, I said, I don't need the map. I got all of the trails, the whole park up here. I don't need it. And so I drove on, found my campsite, got set up, and I went out on my first hike. Now, since I was by myself, I didn't have any of my kids along. You know, normally I'm having to drag my kids or carry them halfway. So this time I said, because I'm just by myself, I want to challenge myself. I want to do a long hike. And I want to do a hike that I've never been on before. Not smart, right, when you don't have the map. So I set out on this trail, and everything is going really well. It's very enjoyable for the first hour and a half or so. And then all of a sudden, I'm walking around and I realize, wait a minute, I'm not on the trail anymore. where on earth am I? What am I following? And I'm following this very skinny little narrow pathway winding through the woods that's getting smaller and smaller. Does anybody, any hunters know what that might be? It's like a deer path, right? And usually those trails, they go to a water source. And so again, I have to make a decision here. Do I turn around or do I go forward? And because I'm kind of cocky when it comes to directions, I think I know where I'm going. I said, I think this trail is going to loop around, so I should just continue to go forward, and eventually I'm going to catch up with this trail. So that's what I do. Probably about 10 minutes later, I find myself in what I can only describe as a big, giant mud pit. You see, it had rained pretty for like 4 days straight that week. And so I'm walking through this mud pit, and it starts off and I'm getting mud on my shoes. I'm like, that's okay, I can handle this. And I go on a little bit more, and all of a sudden I just start sinking knee deep into this mud pit. And I'm like, you know, my shoes are getting stuck. I'm getting mud all over the place. And did I mention I have my dog with me? So I'm dragging my dog through this mud pit. She goes from being black to totally covered in dirt. She's brown now. I don't even recognize her. And I see the edge of this mud pit. I'm like, I think I can make it. Just go on. You know, you already have gone this far. So I get to the edge of this mud pit. And you know what I see just right off in the distance? A big, giant creek. Now, did I mention that it rained for like 4 days straight before this? And so I looked in there, and it was like up to here. I'm like, there's no way I'm crossing that. And there's sure as heck no way I'm dragging my dog through that. So I had to turn around, go back through the mud pit, drag my dog back through. She's stinky. She's covered in mud. I'm slinging mud all over the place. My shoes are ruined. My pants are ruined. So much for my peaceful time of solitude, right? All because I got off the right path and I tried to forge my own. You know, in our lives, there are many different paths that we can follow, aren't there? And I want to suggest to you this morning that out of all of these paths, except for one, they all eventually lead to difficulty and heartache. They lead to muddied up lives. Now, one of those paths that leads to difficulty is what I like to call the path of material satisfaction. And people that are on that path, they're all about chasing wealth and success because they have come to believe that that will give them true satisfaction in life. James Dobson, who's a Christian writer, he said this about this path. He said, "The itch for things, the lust for more, is a virus draining our souls of contentment. Have you noticed," he says, "a man never earns enough, a woman is never beautiful enough, clothes are never fashionable enough, cars are never nice enough, relationships are never romantic enough." My wife, are you here? Did you hear that? Okay. "Life is never full enough." And he goes on to conclude that the destination of this path, even though it's filled with all kinds of stuff that may seem good, the destination of this path is emptiness, he says. Another path that many people are on is the path of temporal satisfaction. Now, people on this path are all about living for the pleasures of this life. The motto of people on this path is, if it feels good, do it. Or we should just eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. In other words, they think that this life is all that there is. There's no concern. There's no thought about an afterlife. And so we should just live it up. We should just live it up. Now, friends, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that all of these paths are dead end. And if we go down them, most likely we'll end up broken, hurt, in pain, alone, or feeling empty inside. We'll end up feeling like King Solomon, who, after a lifetime of searching for meaning and satisfaction, said, "It's meaningless. It's all meaningless," all because he was searching down the wrong path. But thankfully, friends, we don't have to make the same mistake that he did, do we? Because Jesus shows us a better path, a path that brings abundant life and life in all of its fullness. I want y'all to hear these words again from Jesus, who said in John 10, he said, "The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, friends, this abundant life that Jesus talks about here is what we refer to here at the church when we talk about life better together. And you've probably seen this this graphic before, maybe on the back of t-shirts, or you've heard us use this slogan. But what we mean by it is that we believe that Jesus helps us to live the best life possible. Out of all of the different paths of life that we can take, it's Jesus and following him that we live the best life possible. And that this life is experienced not alone, not in isolation, but together with other believers. And so to help us to live this life here at FMC, over the past 6 months or so, the pastors and we've been developing a discipleship pathway. And we call this pathway the Pathway to Life, L-I-F-E. That's an acronym. Those four letters, L-I-F-E, stand for four things that we think are critical for us in the life of discipleship. And so over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be taking a journey down this pathway to life to help us to see how these four things can help us to live the abundant life that Jesus wants to give us. So that's a little overview of where we're headed over the next couple of weeks in this sermon series. But what I want to talk to you about this morning is what you can expect to find along this pathway to life. So the first thing that we think you'll find is a community of believers. A community to do faith with and do life with. Now, I firmly believe that this abundant life can only be experienced when we're living in community with other believers. That's the L in life, living in community. And I'm not talking about any community. I'm not talking about, you know, your community at work or that community that you see at the baseball field or whatever it is. I am talking specifically about Christian community. I want us to think about this analogy of the sheep for just a second. The sheep are safe and cared for when they are surrounded by what? The other sheep, right? They are safe when they are in the sheep pen, when they're being watched over the good shepherd who is there to watch over them and to protect them. But it's when the sheep wander off by themselves, when they get lost down the wrong path, when they become isolated, that is when they are the most vulnerable to attack, aren't they? From their predators, from animals like wolves. And isn't that the strategy of the enemy? The enemy of our souls, who wants to isolate us? Jesus says that the enemy, the devil, is like a wolf who prowls around. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And one of the enemy's main tactics is to isolate us, to pull us away from Christian community so that he can attack our minds with lies, doubts, and worries. Now, maybe you've experienced this before in your own life. Maybe you've gone through a difficult time, and instead of pressing into Christian community, you've pulled back because maybe you were concerned what other people would think if you shared that you were struggling with this thing, or you didn't want other people to see your weakness. You didn't want to ask for help, and so you pulled away. And it was in that place of isolation when the enemy began to whisper in your ear, "Those people, they don't love you. The church doesn't care for you." And then it escalates from there. "God doesn't care for you. God doesn't love you." Have you ever been in that situation? That is a dangerous place to be, isn't it? And this is why we need to be in the sheep pen. This is why we need to be surrounded with other believers who can pray for us, who can know what's going on, where we can share our struggles and share our doubts and share our fears, and they'll listen to us and they'll comfort us and they'll encourage us. They'll speak truth over us. They'll help us when we're struggling. And the Bible says that when we are feeling weak, others can be what? Strong. And vice versa, when we are strong, we can be strength for those who are feeling weak. And so, friends, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about how you can live in community. We're actually going to be talking about that next week, how we can walk this pathway to life with others here at the church. So the first thing we can expect is to find true community. And then the next thing you'll find along this pathway to life is true meaning and purpose. You know, Jesus tells us time and time again that true meaning and satisfaction in this life cannot be found in the things of this world. Later on in John 12, Jesus puts it this way. He says, anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Did you notice that Jesus used the word serve or servant three times here in this passage? And I think this is one of the great paradoxes of the Christian faith, that it's when we actually lay down our lives, it's when we fully surrender to God, it's when we give up our lives in service to God and other people, that that's when we truly experience life and life in all its fullness. Now, friends, I really wish that I would have learned this lesson way earlier in life. And for those of you that are young this morning, children, teenagers, I really want you to listen because I learned this lesson the hard way. So much of my life, especially in high school and college, was spent wandering down the paths of temporal and material satisfaction. In other words, I was living life for myself. It was all about me. You know, after college, I had a good job. I was making good money. I could buy pretty much anything I wanted to. I spent the nights living it up and partying. But I found that all of those things, they left me feeling empty and dead inside. And usually on Saturday and Sunday mornings, feeling pretty sick with the hangover as well. But it wasn't until I became a Christian that I found that a life lived with Jesus and for Jesus was an abundantly rich and satisfying life, better than any other life, any other path that I had tried up until that point. And it was at that point that God began to shift the focus off of my life from being all about me, myself, and I, and onto what God wanted for my life and how God wanted to use me. And for me, that was first serving in youth ministry as a volunteer and then later in full-time ministry. But friends, what that's going to look like for each and every one of us is going to be different, isn't it? Because we're all unique. We're all created differently. We have different passions and different giftings and different talents and different interests. But if we're following Jesus and doing what he did in the world, I think that we'll share at least two things in common when it comes to serving. We'll be investing in others, and we'll be focusing outwards. That's the I and the F that we're building in this life acronym. We'll be doing those things, friends, because that's what Jesus did. Jesus spent pretty much all of his ministry investing in his friends, making disciples, sharing life with them, teaching them, guiding them. And he spent his whole life from birth, from the time he was a little child, all the way until the cross, when he did that ultimate act of surrender. He spent his whole life focusing outwards, doing his Father's will and work in the world. Friends, I think that's what Jesus means here when he says that you will come in and that you will go out and find pasture. You see, when we come into the church on Sunday mornings or we gather with our life groups in the middle of the week or on Sunday mornings in our Sunday school classes, we come in to worship and we encounter God and we experience the blessings and the benefits of Christian community. How many of you have already experienced those blessings this morning just by being here together as the body of Christ or by fellowshipping in your Sunday school class? And so we come in and we experience those blessings, but you know, Jesus doesn't want us just to hold on to those ourselves, but it says that we'll go out. Jesus wants to send us out into the world to do his work. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be challenging you. We're going to be challenging the church to focus outwards in every aspect of your life, from your job. Think about who you're surrounded with in your job if you're still working. Or maybe your possessions. Some of us have been blessed richly with our time, with our family. How can we invest in our family? Whether that's we have little children in the home, or we have grown adults that we can invest in, or maybe our grandchildren or great-grandchildren. Friends, we want to encourage you with everything that you are and everything that you have to focus outwards. Because without doing those two things, investing in others and focusing outwards, I don't think we're going to get very far down that path to abundant life. And then finally, on this pathway to life, you can expect to encounter the living God, the Good Shepherd, the one who calls you by name, the one who says, you are mine, the one who wants to protect you and guide you from harm, from the enemy, the one who loves you so much that he laid down his life for you. You know, Jesus is not like the hired hand, right? The hired hand who immediately when danger shows up, because he doesn't own the sheep, he doesn't care about the sheep, what does he do? He runs away out of fear. He's not willing to risk his life. But Jesus came and laid it all down for us, sacrificed his life so that we could have life, so that we could step into this life, so that we could enter into the gate and find meaning and purpose, so that we could find a relationship with the living God. Jesus said, my sheep will recognize my voice. Have you ever experienced the voice of the shepherd calling out to you? Maybe it was in worship through a sermon or through a song. Maybe it was in your own private devotion time with the Lord when you're praying or you're reading the scriptures. Or maybe you experienced his voice as a warning. I know I've experienced that before. You know, when I've started to stray off the path, off the good path that God has for me, God lovingly and gently guides us back onto the right path. Friends, God speaks to us because he loves us. And he wants what's best for us. He wants to guide us along this path to life. A life that's lived in community. A life of real meaning and purpose. And a life of experiencing the love, the forgiveness, and the grace and the guidance of our Good Shepherd. The only question, friends, is, are you on that path following the Good Shepherd? This morning, I want to invite us into a time of prayer. I want to invite us into a time of prayer, specifically listening for the voice of the Good Shepherd this morning. And reflecting in our own lives on where we are in this pathway to life, where we are in our discipleship journey. And so wherever you are, from your seats, if you would like to come and kneel and pray or whatever's most comfortable for you, I want to invite you to take a posture of prayer and to consider these following questions as we listen for the voice of the Good Shepherd. Friends, do you hear the voice of the Good Shepherd this morning calling you to become part of his flock? To come into those good pastures, to find salvation and eternal life? If so, do you want to respond to that call to belong to Jesus this morning? If you've never done that, here in just a little while, when we come forward for communion, this is a great time for us to pray with one of our prayer ministers and just say, I want Jesus. I want to be his follower. I want to be one of his sheep. Or do you hear the voice of the Good Shepherd calling you out of a life of isolation? Is he calling you into the sheep pen? To surround yourself, to be part of the flock in deeper ways, to live in Christian community. Friends, you don't have to journey and walk this life alone. The beauty of the Christian life is that we get to do this together. We get to experience this abundant life together. Or do you hear the voice of the shepherd warning you about the path that you are on? As you look at your life, do you see that mud is splashing on your shoes? Or you feel like you're sinking? into a pit of mud this morning. Friends, Jesus wants to draw you out. He wants to put your feet on solid ground so that you can walk down the right paths that lead to true and abundant life. So, Lord, I pray that wherever we find ourselves this morning along the path of discipleship, help us, God, to take that next step into abundant life. For God, we know that only you can satisfy our souls and give us life in all of its fullness. We pray this prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen.